Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the Half-Fast Podcast. I'm your host, Ian Dees, broadcasting from our remote location in Welch's, Oregon. No, that's not where they make the grape juice. It's a tiny little hamlet nestled in the foothills of Mount Hood. And we are at a political conference hosted by the Oregon Bus Project, which is this fantastic organization that is trying to get us to take back our democracy and do what we want with it. I'm here with my roommate, Mike Litt, and he has just given me this fabulous little sticker. At first I thought it was a no sigma, like the Greek letter sigma with a cross through it. And I wondered what Mike had against mathematicians. Then I realized I was holding it sideways. It's actually a no W sticker. So this is probably going to go on my bike buckets. So thank you, Mike, for that. And actually, Mike and I are going to be talking in just a few minutes. First, I'm going to paste in a little bit of audio from earlier today. I went to this great session on land use planning, and it made me really excited because they showed this ballot measure that's going to keep hopefully keep the voters happy who approved Measure 37, but without totally gutting our land use system, which was really an unintended side effect of Measure 37. Well, unintended for the voters anyway. Arbor Homes knew exactly what they were doing when they bought this piece of crap, but most voters assumed the state was going to pay their claims and not just roll over and void the land use law. Thank God that's been struck down for now, knock on wood. But in the meantime, we've got this much better alternative that protects all those individual rights that people were legitimately complaining about feeling abridged without selling our state out to the Arbor Homes lobby. So here's hoping. But anyway, in that session, I got to meet Metro Councilor Liberty, and that was fantastic because I'd read some of his legislative work, and I also got to finally put a face to a name and meet Bob Salinger from Portland Audubon. He and I have some friends in common. We've sort of volunteered on some of the same internet web projects. So here's a little conversation with Bob, and I caught up with him in the hallway for a few minutes. Bob Salinger, who's the Urban Conservation Director for Portland Audubon. And we've just had a very interesting session with him and Councilor Robert Liberty of Metro about land use planning. And so how do you feel it went?
I think it's exciting. I think it's very exciting that we have a lot of folks here that are interested in engaging in the political system. I think the biggest failure of the land use planning process to date has been not engaging people well enough, so that's critical. Just get people together, thinking about it, starting to understand it, so they get out in the community and really talk about it in a meaningful way.
You know, one point you brought up in the discussion was really getting the word out to the voters, and that was something audience members kind of asked the panelists to elaborate on, too, was, you know, does the electorate have all the facts, and how do we get them the facts? Is this just magazine articles in the Warbler and articles on urbanfauna.org, or how do we go further? Is this knocking on doors like Jeff Smith wants us to do? Or
I think it is. I mean, I think we need to take it to the people. I don't think we have to date. There are huge challenges, but it's easy to complain about the press. It's easy to complain about the number of referendums on the ballot. It's easy to complain about a lot of things, but if we're going to be successful, we've got to find a way to educate folks. And I would argue that we have not really made a concerted effort to date, at least not over the last 10 or 15 years. So, to some degree, we only have ourselves to blame, and we need to give it a good try.
I feel like I'm kind of soaked in that problem, too, because I have a hard time thinking of creative ways to get the word out. Do you have any ideas for the future on how we can go forward with this?
I do. First of all, I think we need to expand the base. We have focused on farmers and vintners. That's really been the focus for the last several years. Keep the base constituency. We need to find ways to expand that. That's going to be difficult. There's going to be some different perspectives that are going to need to be reconciled. But first of all, we need to reach out to a broader audience. Secondly, I think we need to figure out what our themes are. We have a lot of different perspectives. When you get a group of environmentalists together, a group of land use advocates, a lot of different perspectives at the table. We need to figure out what the most important messages are to convey, and we need to convey them. It's pretty basic stuff, but we haven't done it. Third, we need to be creative. We need to seize the initiative. Maybe we buy commercial time, not just when we're on the defensive mode, when there's an initiative before us, but we go on the offensive, explain what the land use planning system does, go door to door, repeat these themes in all of our different newsletters.
So that we get out of damage control and putting out fires and get into having this be part of the sort of collective unconscious of
absolutely Oregon. It was at one time, certainly to a greater degree than it is today. We've had a lot of people move to this state. It is a much more complex world, but we haven't done a good job of rising to meet that challenge. So I think there's a lot of different ways to do it, and we need to be creative about it.
But with events like this weekend, do you have hope for the future going forward of finding these creative approaches? And
I do. I have a lot of hope going forward for this. I think in some ways Measure 37 was a big wake-up call, and we've known we've had to do this for a long time. For folks that have been tracking this issue, we've known for the better part of 5 or 6 years that we really needed to reinvigorate the electorate, and we just haven't done that. And so, now we know we do, and I think we will.
Well, I certainly think that there's a lot of momentum behind this bus project and getting people excited again about democracy, about spreading the word for new ideas, progressive ideas. And so here's hope that Portland Audubon and Bus Project and all these groups can find some common ground and get some work done.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And so here I am back in my room, sitting next to Mike, and we'll just have a quick little chat before we turn in. Mike?
Good evening. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's been a really fantastic conference, and we had some fantastic and inspiring speeches by Lessa Coyne and David Sirota this evening.
What was your favorite thing that Lessa Coyne said tonight?
Well, that you've got to be willing to lose an election sometimes. You've got to stand up for what's right. And he's echoing what Howard Dean said all during the Dean campaign. And I was a very strong Dean supporter. I worked hard for Kerry because Kerry was so much better than the alternative. But I still think Dean was a lot better than Kerry and might have had a better chance of winning.
I think a lot of people voted for Kerry because he was not Bush.
Right.
But I think there's that whole debate over, do we water down our politics because we think that's going to get us more votes, or do we stay pure and that will get us some more votes because people respect that kind of integrity? So you're saying that we should have stuck with Dean and...
Yeah, I think we should have stuck with Dean. Although with September 11th, and all of the brouhaha about that, maybe it's unlikely that any Democrat could have won. But at least we would have given it a real shot. I always felt that Kerry just came across as too wishy-washy.
Yeah, I think...
He wasn't as much of a flip-flopper as Republicans said he was.
Oh, yeah, that was just their hatchet job.
He was somewhat of a flip-flopper. No question about it. And he, we'll never know, of course, what would have happened if Dean had been the candidate. But because I don't think we could have worked any harder for Dean than we did for Kerry.
Yeah.
but Dean might well have come across as more authentic to more people.
Yeah, he seemed a little more real. Yeah. You know, there was a website that summed it up perfectly. This was actually a real website. I think it's been taken down now after the election. Yeah. But there was actually a website called www.johnkerryisadouchebagbutimvotingforhimanyway.com. And you could actually go there, and it would explain why, even though he's not ideal, he's slightly better than the alternative. But, oh well, it's like you said, we'll never know. But we're here to change all that. And
well, I think we've tried this business of too much compromise, and I don't know, the older I get, the more radicalized I get. I feel I used to be a moderate. I've voted for some Republicans in my life, but I've been pushed into this corner by the what's happening in the country, and I've come to believe much more in the evil of the big corporation system, although that's probably more complicated than it seems. I mean, some big corporations do some good things, and they provide a lot of employment, and I wouldn't be for outlawing corporations solely on the basis of their size, but the idea, Tom Hartman has convinced me that corporate personhood is a perversion of the way this country was supposed to be set up.
Yeah, that's a pretty dangerous doctrine,
right,
I think.
Right, and it's taken for granted in this country. Shouldn't be.
Well, that's
on the other hand, we've got to convince people. I think there's an awful lot of people who worry about biting the hand that feeds them.
A lot of politicians, you mean?
A lot of voters too.
So a lot,
and they figure, if you're too nasty for corporations, you're going to lose jobs, and they worry about that. So I think that's a very real fear that the Republicans have maybe used, and that has to be addressed.
So I think it can be
addressed by just showing that, well, we are losing jobs overseas, that globalization is getting much worse.
How do you answer the free market types who say, oh, well, that's just temporary price imbalance. Given enough time, you know, we keep buying these overseas goods, and that's going to magically drive up their prices because of more demand for their services, and then everybody will be equal, and everybody will be happy, and it'll be a perfect little cigar-chomping capitalist paradise or something like that.
Well, what happens in the meantime, though, I see lots of jobs going overseas. Even a lot of educated people are finding it hard to get jobs. I see pensions going out the window. I see the gulf between rich and poor getting worse. Healthcare is going down the tubes. Education, scientific research is going down the tubes. And I just have built up a level of mistrust of the powers that be, so that even if they are right, sometimes I wouldn't trust them. I don't believe them.
Well, that's the kind of thing. You know, I kind of feel the same way. I explained it to a friend like this. Whenever the Republicans come out with their latest, you know, tax cut for the wealthy or something like this, and maybe they have this theory about how that money is magically going to trickle down and help the poor people, even though it never does. But I always think, okay, so you've got this idea that maybe it might work, but it kind of reminds me of, like, imagine you have, like, this cousin, and he's always got this next get-rich-quick scheme, and he's always screwing it up, and he's also a drunk driver, and like, drove through your living room a few times, and then you got stuck with the bill for it, and then your cousin's like, hey, I got this great new theory. I got this great new idea on how you're going to make a lot of money. I just need you to give me $2,000.
Yeah, right.
That's how I feel about sometimes what
even if he's right, you're not going to believe him.
Right, it's going to be, yeah. It sort of earned my distrust sometimes, right. I feel like. But
yeah, right, I certainly agree. I must say, I also like Ben Westlund's talk. I've never heard him speak before. I am a little concerned, though, because if he runs as an independent, would that mean that Kevin Mannix ends up being governor?
That would suck.
Would he get more votes from the people that... I'm no great fan of Kulo, but Kulo's done some pretty cool things. He's done some pretty bad things. He's not a very progressive... He goes with the way the wind blows, I think.
And I think he's not
real... But if we make the wind blow the right way, he'll go that way. And so I don't know. It worries me. Even though I like Westland, and I think I might like him a heck of a lot more as governor than I'd like Kulo.
But you're worried that he might divide the Democratic vote between him and Kulo.
Yeah.
So do you think it's definitely going to be Kulo on the Dem side, or do you think Kitzhaber is going to make a big announcement, maybe even this weekend, or...
My guess is as good as yours, but I have heard rumors, or not rumors is the wrong word. I've heard speculation that Kitzhaber is really angling to be president of OHSU, and that he's pressuring by pretending he's, or might be in the race for governor.
Oh, I see.
Putting pressure on Kulo to... I don't know if Kulo has the power to appoint him as president or just has a lot of clout in helping to determine who will be the next president of OHSU.
So you think he might be pressuring Kulo to make a couple of phone calls on his behalf?
It's possible. It's clear to me that having heard Kitzhaber numerous times give the same or similar speech, that he wants to fix health care in this country, and that he thinks he knows how to do it, and I think he knows how to do it. I think he knows at least the best, he's got the best prescription for the final state, the way things ought to be, of anyone that I've heard. I don't know that he knows how to get there from here, but he would do anything he could to advance that agenda. And he's also said numerous times that he doesn't think that politics, working through the current political system, you're going to get anywhere with the healthcare system.
Well, so we have to try, you know, I suppose.
And he's got other ideas as to how to do this, but I'd be very surprised if he's really sincerely wants to run for governor. But I could be wrong. He could have changed. Something could have changed since I last heard him say that. It wasn't too long ago. It was maybe 6 months ago. He actually gave a talk to the Bus Project group in one evening. But I actually got to shake his hand and talk to him briefly, which I'd never done before. But that was the line he was taking then. So I would be very surprised if he actually ends up running for governor.
Well, here's hoping. All right, well, thank you, Mike. I think I'm going to hit the stop button and send my listeners on their merry way. So to everyone out there in cyberspace listening, or both of you, have a good evening or a good day or whenever it is that I post this thing and you're listening to it. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.